I've said that the canal proprietors were enormously wealthy, but Sanders, Moss, and other people on the Liverpool Manchester board, they were wealthy men themselves and men of influence. So, and they had a very good case. So they had the merchants of Manchester and Liverpool, as well as other parts of the country, the Potteries and the Midlands, which were enormous manufacturing centres. They had all of those interests on their side, so they did have a considerable voice, and they had a good case. And they went, they presented the bill to Parliament in 1825, and unfortunately, the main canal proprietors united. They set down their differences for the purpose of defending their interests in 1825. So you had the Leeds and Liverpool Canal, the Mersey and Irwell Navigation, and the Bridgewater Canal, and they managed to get the bill kicked out.
Right.
Much to Stevenson's embarrassment. I mean, it wasn't his fault that the bill was kicked out. It was, there were many reasons, but historians tend to cite Stevenson's woeful interactions with the canals. Do you want to go on into this, do you think?
I think it's quite interesting because heard that this could be truth or not, that when he presented the bill in Parliament, they were quite shocked by his broad accent. They couldn't understand him.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. well, I'll read you this extract from my book, which includes quotations. On the 26th of April, Stevenson was cross-examined on his survey and estimates, about which it soon became apparent he knew little. He had trusted a largely inexperienced team to survey the line in the summer of 1824 and had not properly checked their findings. His nemesis was Edward Alderson, who was counsel to the canal owners, and Alderson took delight in exposing his errors and omissions, describing the railway as the most absurd scheme that ever entered into the head of a man to conceive. Stevenson's woeful estimate of the height of a bridge over the River Irwell led Alderson to query whether he was so ignorant of his profession as to propose a bridge not sufficient to carry off the floodwater of the river, or to permit any of the vessels to pass which of necessity must pass under it, and leave his own railway road liable to be several feet under water. Unfortunately, as Stephen recounted, that fun was made of his accent.
Mm.
It wasn't a Geordie accent. I can explain why it wasn't a Geordie accent. Mm. It was a Northumberland accent.
Right.
The reason we have Geordie today is because Stevenson patented a miner's safety lamp at the same time as Humphrey Davy famously patented his. And what happened was that everywhere in the country, down mines, they used Humphrey Davy's safety
lamp,
except in Northumberland, where they used George Stevenson's safety lamp.
Mm.
And somehow it's George has been corrupted into Geordie. So that's where we get Geordies from.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So because the miners were wearing George's safety lamp. But anyway, in Parliament, fun was made of his accent, and someone asked if he was a foreigner. We've heard that before. That persists to this day with Geordies. And another hinted that he was mad. And subsequently, the bill was thrown out on the 31st of May.
Mm.
And Stevenson was promptly dismissed from the company. And Moss would have been one of the people who made that decision. It was a blindingly obvious decision to be made because he had been discredited and embarrassed.
Yeah,
but Moss wrote to him very shortly after that. Moss kept on very good terms with Stevenson, and he kept on good terms with Stevenson throughout Stevenson's life.
Mm.
And Moss wrote to him on the 13th of July, and he said that no one can be more satisfied than I am that you deserved very different treatment than you met with from Mr. Alderson. Your talents are of a very much more valuable nature than that of a witness in the House of Commons. And Stevenson replied from Newcastle on the 18th, "I assure you the trouble and anxiety of mind I met with in London still gives me much grief."
Mm.
So thereafter, that was 1825, Stevenson concentrated all his thoughts on the Stockton and Darlington Railway, which opened in 1825, and that was the first railway in the world. It wasn't the first proper railway as we would understand it now. The Liverpool-Manchester was the first proper railway as we would understand it. It was the Stockton and Darlington was variously the means of traction. Sometimes it was locomotives, sometimes it was fixed steam engines pulling the carriages on ropes, and passengers were pulled in carriages by horses. Liverpool and Manchester was the first railway. All of its carriages, freight and passengers, were pulled by locomotive engines. There were no fixed steam engines on the Liverpool and Manchester railway, apart from here at Edgehill, which, as I say, were, they were used to pull the carriages up to Crown Street and drag them up from the Wapping Tunnel.